growing plants. And I mean, everything I grow dies in my backyard. But my aunt's garden, like, it's kind of like the church's garden. It has a lot of fruit trees. In fact, if you walk in there, it's covered with fruit trees. She's got like peaches, she's got limes, she's got figs and pomegranates, guava, you know, imported from Taiwan. I don't know how, I think you're not supposed to do that, but you got seeds over, you got guava growing. And every time you go there, squashes, every time you go there, it's always filled with lots of fruits. Every time you go, and the difference, and you look at my garden, my garden has one long lemon tree that's still the same size after 4 years. we just don't know what to do with it. And I think the difference is, I see a couple differences between her garden and my garden. And one is that my aunt spends a lot of time there. She will go there every day and look and check on how many fruit. She knows exactly how many fruit there are on a tree and what each one looks like. And then sometimes she will wrap them up in plastic, you know, protect it from birds and things like that. She spent many hours there every day. But me, I only go to my backyard to play with my dog. So that's why she has a nice, very fruitful backyard, and mine is just one tree that won't grow. Right? And secondly, it's effort. She weeds, she waters, and I was telling you that she literally puts either paper bag or plastic bags and to protect the fruits. But I only go there to play with my dog. You know, so it's a big difference in efforts. And what you can see clearly, I think same thing with the church here. I know that like Robert Shea, he puts in a lot of work in making sure all the fruit trees grow well. And the reality is that in order for something to grow, cultivation is very crucial. Cultivation is required. And I think what we've been seeing in the past few weeks is that our connection with God requires cultivation as well. Okay, our connection with God requires cultivation. In fact, in the past few months, we experienced together the reality of God wanting to connect with us, God pursuing us. He loves you, He loves me, and He eagerly wants to connect deeply with you and me. And wants to give us that most powerful, most awesome, passionate life. And what we also see is that this kind of full life, this kind of true salvation, is more than just about making into heaven sometimes in the future. It's about having an abundant and transformed life right now. Right? That your life, the quality of your life, the quality of your heart, the quality of your character literally changes right now. And we see that it is possible to have that kind of life of freedom and power so that we feel what Jesus feels. Well, so that our hearts desire what Jesus desires. So that our thoughts are not plagued by greed or anger or anxiety or lust, but in fact our thoughts are filled with joy and peace and love and kindness. It is possible for that to happen because it is possible for us to have that deep connection, deeply connected life in Christ. But the thing is, this kind of connection, this kind of life requires cultivation. It requires cultivation. We actually need to work on it. And that's what we're going to see today. How do we begin cultivating practically this kind of life? I guess it's not going to work today, so I'll just put this aside. But we're going to see how can we cultivate this kind of life. So let's pray and ask God to show us how this morning, okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you in submission, in humility. We surrender our hearts to you. We ask that you will form us, you will form our hearts. We know that our hearts and our minds are sinful and rebellious in nature. And so we choose this morning to turn our hearts and our thoughts to you, to let you transform us. So invite your Spirit to come and teach us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So how do we cultivate our connection with God? Well, I think the most important thing is that we need to first realize that our hearts need cultivation. Okay, our hearts require cultivation. That's the first blank in your outline. Okay, our hearts require cultivation. I think we all realize, we all have this experience. Well, maybe we've been to a conference where the speaker just gave a message. Or maybe we went to a retreat and we see that God is doing something miraculous. I know some of you went to a Harvest Crusade just a few weeks ago. Right? You see hundreds of people flocking to the bottom, to the middle, right? And sometimes you wonder, why is it that some people are so deeply touched by the message? And I'm just sitting there like, I don't get it. I don't feel anything. What is it that they're so crazy about? Why is it that they feel so moved? And in fact, they're moved to tears. And I'm just sitting there, I'm falling asleep, or I'm just not feeling the connection. What is this? Or what is the difference? Or maybe you've been wanting to go on this retreat, and you feel like you have this hunger to want to deeply connect with God. And you went there, and you really got it. You went there with great expectation to meet God, and God met you there. And you thought, wow, this is so awesome. And you try to share it with your friends, and your friends are like, what are you talking about? We just went there to hang out with our friends. So you wonder, why is it that in those moments, there's such a different reaction to the same, basically the same thing that happened, took place, right? It's the same message, it was the same worship songs, it's the same conference, it's the same retreat, it's the same evangelistic meeting. Why is it that there are such drastic differences in response? I remember going to a conference once. I have no idea. In fact, I can't remember who the speaker was. I can't remember who the speaker was or whatever he said. But I remember, as I was there, I felt that God was really tugging in my heart. He was really moving me to a point of tears. But then, right in the middle of it, I thought, hey, this is kind of weird. Why am I crying? You know? And I started to analyze what's happening, and thought, well, that's kind of embarrassing. I don't know if I want to do that. And it's like, so I tried to logically, intellectually think through what was happening to me. And then this tugging of the Spirit just left. I never came back. And I thought, oh man, I lost him. What was I doing? And so what's the difference between that moment when I was being touched by God and later when I just kind of quenched that work of God in my heart? Well, I believe that what we see in the passage that Josh led us to read this morning tells us what the main difference is. And that is the condition of our heart. So let's turn to Luke chapter 8 and just kind of keep our fingers there, keep our Bible open to that chapter, because we're going to look through those passages. Luke chapter 8. See, our hearts must be cultivated in order to connect deeply with God. The truth is that the condition of your heart right now, the condition of your heart right now determines whether or not you will connect with God at this moment. That's the second blank. The condition of your heart. And this is true for me. This is true for you. This is true for every single person. And that's why when my heart was hardened and when I turned to selfish thoughts and started to try to analyze what's going on with me, my heart, the condition of my heart changed. I was being closed. And that's why when my heart hardened and the Spirit's movement just kind of left, because I was literally quenching the Spirit's movement. It's kind of like pouring water over the fire of the Holy Spirit moving in my heart. And that's what we see here in Luke chapter 8. This passage, Jesus is explaining to us four conditions of the heart. Four conditions of the heart. And the first type, the first condition of the heart is one of reinforced concrete highway. Okay. So reinforced concrete highway. So try to picture this. I was going to draw this, but I guess I can't do it this morning. But you have this heart, you have this highway paved with reinforced concrete, with with steel beams in the middle and just poured over, concrete pouring over. And in God's word, that's the condition of our heart. And God is sowing His word, His seed. But when the seed comes, it just kind of bounces off the word, just kind of boom, right? Just kind of bounces off because there's no soil. It doesn't penetrate. The heart is so hard. And Luke 8:5 says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. And Jesus' explanation of this passage in a few verses later is that this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. See, God's word doesn't even register. It just kind of comes and just, doing, just bounces off, right? And because and when that happens, it's very easy for the devil to come just kind of pick off those words, and nothing ever happens. And birds in the Bible are oftentimes a picture of devil in the Bible. And if I look around here, and I don't think too many of us are in this category, because I think most people really respect the Bible. You know, even if they don't believe in God, they would say that, well, the Bible is filled with truth, it's good moral teaching, and so forth. I think most people, if they really read the Bible and listen to the Bible, they will see that it makes sense. It is truth. Because I don't think too many of us struggle with this. But of course, there are those who are just adamantly against anything that is in the Bible. That's possible as well. But I think most of us don't struggle with this so much. Second type of heart condition. The second heart condition, I think this is much more prevalent, even amongst us who call ourselves Christians. And that is the heart of a gravel patch. A heart of a gravel patch. So you have, imagine this ground just covered with little pebbles and rocks and just filled with all kinds of rocks. And imagine seed falling into that kind of soil. And chapter 8, verse 6 says, some fell on rocks. So this sower is sowing the seed. And it says, some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. And Jesus' explanation of this verse is, those on the rock are the ones who received the word. So they did take it, right? They took it in. They received the word with joy. They were even excited. They received the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believed for a while, but in a time of testing, when challenges come, they fell away. I remember back in college, I was deeply moved by the Spirit of God about the practice of fasting. And I knew clearly from the life and the teaching of Jesus that fasting is, in fact, not something sort of optional or something that super Christians practice. It's something that He, in fact, expected all believers to follow. And I knew back then, and so I thought, okay, this is something I need to do because I want to be a good follower of Christ. And so I practiced for a few months, once a week fasting. And then I start to rationalize because, you know, back in college, you get involved in a lot of activities, a lot of sports, a lot of basketball and going out and play and also a lot of studying. And so just a lot of physical exertion. And so I start to rationalize because you get really hungry when you're trying to play basketball on an empty stomach, right? And so I start to rationalize and say, well, maybe it's okay right now. I don't have to do it. See, I had a gravel heart because when I knew the truth, I got excited. And I practiced it for a while. But then when things start to happen in my life, I just said, well, maybe I don't have to do it now. I think God recently has started to deal with me about the need to really memorize Bible passages. Because I was just thinking about Joshua 1:8 the other day. It says, you know, keep the book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you are careful to do everything that is written in it, so that you'll be prosperous and successful. And that verse is talking about us literally putting the word of God constantly in our hearts, memorizing it, become part of us. And God is convicting me about this, and not just memorizing a verse here and there, but memorizing large passages, you know, like chapters or paragraphs. And I thought, well, okay, I got to start doing that. You know, every morning I'm going to come up, get up extra, you know, 15 minutes so I have time to do this. And then, and I start to rationalize because, you know, Penny's out of town. I'm busier with the kids. I already get up before the sunrise, you know, for prayer and Bible study and stuff like that. Now, do I really need to do this? Same thing. God is telling me something that He wants me to do, and I'm rationalizing away. Now, it doesn't sound like, to most of us, it probably doesn't sound like something serious. You know, my Bible memorization, isn't that something like, you know, kind of optional activity that God wants you to do? And to me, I really felt that it wasn't, because it was such a clear conviction in my heart. But I chose to sin against God when I didn't do it, when I started to rationalize it. Now, some of us probably would not even define that as sin, but I know it is sin because it is something that God clearly told me, but I refuse to do it. What is it called when God tells you to do something, you don't do it? It's rebellion. And rebellion is a sin. That's a gravel heart. And I was preparing this message earlier this week, and I was thinking about all this. I feel kind of convicted about the next thing I want to share. It's actually something I think is quite challenging to share, and I'm not exactly sure. There's no nice way to put it, but I feel that God just put it in my heart that I need to talk about this, and I think it would be pastoral malpractice if I don't. And that is 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 17. So let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6. And I want us to read this together. And I think this is definitely an example of gravel hearts, a practice of a gravel heart, very prevalent in our midst and in our culture today. 2 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read from 14 to 17. Let's read this together. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. It says, "Do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as I said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean things, and I will receive you." Okay, let's finish reading verse 18. "I will be a father to you, and will be my son and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." This passage is clearly referring to an Old Testament prohibition of the Israelites from marrying people from surrounding nations. Not because they were foreigners per se, not because they were of different race or nationality, but because of their idol worship. Because of their disbelief in who God is, in Yahweh. And it's not because the Israelites were any better than the people in surrounding nations, because in fact they were not. They were rebellious, just as rebellious. And in fact, God had to discipline many, many times, and they were still so hardened in their hearts. But God says, "I do not want you. I do not want you to marry the people from the countries around you because of their idolatry." It is impossible. God is telling us it is impossible for you to have the most intimate relationship that I want to give you. It's impossible for you to experience the picture of my relationship with my people, with the church, in fact. It's impossible for you to understand and experience that unless you follow my commandments here. And I think, as a Christian, I know that my life of allegiance to God, it cannot be compromised. And unless my spouse has the same allegiance to God, we will never have the intimate relationship that God intends. In fact, I will be doing God and my spouse injustice if I pretend that I'm able to have that most intimate of human relationships if we do not share the same allegiance to God. And that's what 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 17 is about. And it's very easy to rationalize this away. Why? Because when we meet men and women that are you know, for those of you guys that are young, you know, and you're still in high school, you're still single, you're still not married, it's very easy to just meet somebody nice and you feel like, you know, it's wonderful. I love this joy that I feel in this relationship. And when I'm involved in it, it makes me happy. But I know this is in fact a sin, because just like my sin of disobedience, when I knew that God wants me to fast, and I knew that God wants me to memorize passages, and I'm not doing it, I know I'm sinning. And this passage is very clear about what His intentions for us are in terms of our relationship. And I know that oftentimes we read this and we knew this is right. I know all of us feel that this is right, but when trials and testing comes, how deep is that seed planted in our hearts? Is it taking root, or is it just drying up and withering? It's very easy to compromise and rationalize. And now, this is a curious thing, because, see, when I'm not fasting, when I'm not memorizing passages, I'm not really suffering. Actually, I don't think I was experiencing God's judgment. God didn't say, oh, wow, you're sinning. I'm going to just zap you with my lightning. You know, nothing like that happened, okay? But I know I was sinning nonetheless. And I think what God is showing me now is that even though I wasn't being disciplined per se, but I was really missing the riches of blessing and the power that He wants me to have. I'm really missing it. I'm not bearing fruit. Or the fruit that I'm bearing are malnutritious, you know, just like tiny little things that doesn't grow. So for those of you that may be contemplating such a relationship, you know, maybe in one, and you feel like you're not suffering, it's true, probably, because God is merciful. God is gracious. I'm not really suffering. But I know I'm sinning. And we need to cultivate hearts and repent so that our hearts are not the hearts of these gravel. Okay, because what God has for us is so much more. Now, the third type of soil is a bed of thorns. The bed of thorns. So maybe the soil is nice, it's soft, it's fertilized, it's good, but then it's got all these thorns growing at the same time. And it's covering the land. It's almost like a thorn bush, and the seeds fell underneath, and it's trying to grow, and it sprouts a little bit. It says, verse 7, chapter 8, verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And Jesus' explanation in verse 14 is this. It says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. They do not mature. Don't you feel like this is just kind of the most relevant words for you and me who are literally living in the Disneyland of the world called America? I mean, this is for us, right? Because God has blessed us with overwhelming abundance of material possessions, opportunities for advancement, career options, friendships, everything that we have. I mean, the rest of the world can only dream. And we have it. However, these very things that God intended to bless us, to bring blessings to us, so that we can use them to bless the rest of the world, they become thorns in our lives and choke out our relationship with God. Choke out our ability to be able to bear fruit, to have a fruitful life. See, our house becomes the source of our worry, because maybe we over-mortgage ourselves, and instead of becoming a place for joy, for God's presence are filled, right? Or our accumulated wealth and the stock market becomes causes of sleepless nights instead of opportunities to feed the needy and feed the hungry, free the oppressed, help those who are underprivileged. Our education become sources of our fights with our parents. Right? Many of you, I know you're fighting with your parents. Instead of being exciting opportunities for our spiritual and life preparation as we pursue God's calling for our lives. Right? Our jobs and careers become gods what we pursue after instead of tools through which we can serve the real God, the master and teacher of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our entertainment, our leisures, and all these things become things that sap our spirits and cause us to become fruitless. So I feel that this so describes the condition of our hearts today and our church, and including myself. I know that my hearts oftentimes are so filled with thorns. Instead of just saying, I'll be able to just give everything up to God, I'm worrying about, you know, whether I'm going to look okay with the clothes that I'm wearing, or am I going to, whether I'm going to have enough to live on, and as we go on in our lives, we're just kind of choked up by all these worries. And not just worries, this passage talks about pleasures, riches and pleasures too. And the result is that we do not mature, we do not grow. And I think Satan has really gotten us to really buy into this, all this lie, and he's just picking off seeds and choking it out and drying it out. And as a result, we're not able to bear fruit. And the more I think about what Acts, the book of Acts looked like and compared to what our lives is like, it really grieves me. I'm sure it's grieving the heart of God. Because, you know, the people in Acts, they don't have a whole lot, but they gave everything. And as a result, they're living such an awesome, powerful life. And they just want to meet together all the time, worship. They can share the intimate, most intimate aspects of their lives together. And today we have so much, and we don't have that fruitfulness, that abundance. But we don't need to be in that kind of life. See, we can have the heart of a fertilized soil, and that's the fourth kind of life. Fourth kind of heart condition that Christ described. In Luke chapter 8, verse 8, it says, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded crop 100 times more than was sown. And Jesus' explanation in verse 15 is this. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hears a word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. I want you to circle this in your Bible. Retain it. Just the word retain, and persevering. See, the result of a cultivated heart is that you hear God's word, and it's not just kind of bounce off, or just kind of come in one side and go out the other. But you actually feel and experience its power. You not only hear that God loves you, but you experience God's love so much that people around you feel that God loves you. And in fact, even more, that they will feel that God loves them because they're with you. You not only hear about joy, but you experience joy, and others can see it in you. You not only hear about freedom from sin and a life of holiness, but in fact, you are able to live it. That's the word that will take root. You can experience freedom. It's not just hearing about a worry and anxiety-free life, but you feel that your burdens are just kind of lifted up and disappearing around you. That's seed growing and bearing fruit 100 times. And that is possible. That is possible. And in fact, that's what God intends for all of us. And I'm witnessing such a case right now with you. I'm looking at many of you on Friday nights in Footprints. I know that you guys have grown tremendously. I see your passion and worship. And some of you write to me about how you really feel that honoring and obeying your parents is crucial. You really understand it. You are really trying. I mean, I see that's concrete change. And I know that many of you are really trying to figure out what is it that God wants you to do for your life. And you're not just wanting to get into great college so that you can make a lot of money, but you want to get into a great college so that you can be an impact for God. I can see that. I know that that's fruit bearing in your life. And that is awesome. It's visible. It's experiential. I can see it. And I see many of you on Friday nights in the adult family ministry as well. I witness anxious hearts literally changed. I've seen relationships being fixed between couples that are growing much closer. I've seen sinful habits being confessed. And the grip of bondage is being broken. That is transformational power. Why? Because I believe that those of you that changed, you retain. You took God's word, and you retain it, and you persevere. Persevere meaning you go for it. You step out in faith. You're going to try hard. You're going to keep it there. You're going to keep going. You're going to keep doing it, even when times is challenging. See, Jesus' intention is that we cultivate our hearts so that we move away from these hearts of stone, thorns, rock, so that our hearts become soft, become good soils, so that the Word of God can go in and retain and persevere and grow. It takes work, and these are words that describe efforts, work, right? It takes work and effort to make our hearts ready, make our hearts open and soft. And we need to cultivate and develop the heart, purposely weeding out the thorns. I mean, have we spent any efforts in literally cutting away the thorns in our lives? Purposely weeding out the thorns, removing the rocks, so that we persevere, we work on it. Because if you read a few verses later in the passage, it's also about, Jesus said in verse 18, says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Carefully how you listen. Make your hearts ready. That's what Jesus is saying. Make your hearts ready. Cultivate it so that you have more truth sinking in you. And Jesus said later on, those who have will be given more, and those who do not have, even the little bit that they have, will be taken away. See, because those who have that heart that is ready, and they're cultivating, and they're wanting more, in fact, more will be given, and the fruit in their lives is just going to explode. It's going to be crazy. That's why you see that some people in their lives, they're just being blessed amazingly. While others, even the little bit they have, it's kind of a struggle to try to hold it. And even that will be taken away. And I believe that we don't need to be like that. We can be the people that are bearing fruit abundantly, that you can have more of God, and your ride with God is not just all these ups and downs, it's a little up and then deep down, and you're just in the valley for a long time. No, it doesn't need to be like that. Yes, you'll have up and downs, but it's going to be going up. It's going to keep going up. And that the thing is, we can choose. We can choose to have this kind of life. Practically, starting next week, we're going to talk about specific practices that you can engage in. Because what we need to do is, first, we need to come and decide, choose today, that I'm going to surrender my heart to Him. We're going to surrender my heart to God. It's an exercise of your decision. You have to choose. God's not going to choose for you. God is saying, it's available here right now. Do you want it? You have to make a choice. You have to step out. And if you choose, then you can learn what you can do to cultivate your heart. You can come up with specific, detailed action plans so that you can carry out these disciplines and you practice them on a regular basis. So starting next week, we're going to talk about what are these specific ways that you can engage in to practice and develop your heart and cultivate your heart. Okay. So let's bow for a word of prayer. And as we pray right now, I want you to take some time. You tell God yourself that you are choosing Him. I cannot tell you to choose Him. And God's not going to force you to make that choice. God is extending the invitation to you, and He's asking you, do you want this? My word, my grace, my power is available to you right now. Do you want it? It's your choice. And that's your choice today.
Tell God that yourself. Take a minute, tell Him. That you want a soft and ready heart. Some of you here may not even know Christ. You may not have surrendered your life, given your life to Him. You're still kind of on the fringes waiting to see if whether you really want to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Master, as your teacher. Today you can make that choice as well. You can choose Him to be the master of your life instead of yourself. You can ask Him to forgive your sins. You can give your life in surrender to Him. Ask Him to be your God, your personal God, personal Savior. You can do that today. And He will give you a heart that is ready, that is open, if you choose. So this morning, as we continue with a few more songs of worship, if your heart's desire this morning is to choose God and choose to cultivate your heart, to choose to go on this path of discipline, of growth, of heart cultivation, I ask that you just stand up as a dedication, as a sign of dedication to God. You know, not to anybody, for anybody to see or anything like that, but for you, between you and God. I know a lot of times when we take specific actions, it actually kind of solidified the decisions that we make in our minds. So this morning, as we continue to worship, I ask that if your heart this morning is ready to choose, if you're wanting to make that decision to choose to cultivate a heart of a good soil, make that commitment to God. And if you never accept